This is an ABC podcast.
As I've made clear on this show a number of times, one of my all-time favourite rugby league players was Olsen Filipina, the Kiwi international, played out here with the Roosters, started with Balmain, finished at North Sydney. Now, this was a man who could be languishing in reserve grade, yet come out and best Wally Lewis in a test match. He was an old-fashioned toe-poking goal kicker off basically one step, something I tried hard to replicate at school in the under-15Bs, but with no success. Olsen started with the Tigers. He really joined the club, coming across the ditch in 1980 and made his first grade debut the following year. But gosh, he dealt with racism. He dealt with the occasional head-scratching relationship with coaches. He was a garbo in the right area, which I believe he still may be. And he was great fun to watch. Olsen Filipina played 77 first grade games for Balmain, 8 for Eastern Suburbs, and finished with 2 mixed years with North Sydney Bears. He played 28 tests for New Zealand. Patrick Skeen contacted me a couple of months ago now, the fact that he had written this book about Olsen Filipina. It's called The Big O, The Life and Times of Olsen Filipina, and Patrick with Olsen has done a great job. It is, as I say, The Big O, Life and Times of Olsen Filipina, Pacific Revolution pioneer. And Olsen is on the line. Great to speak with you, Olsen. How are you going?
Well, you're out of my debt, but I'm proud to talk to you, Andrew.
Mate, I think your whole life probably just went before your eyes. Is that right? Are you still with Ride Council?
Yes, I'm at work now in the truck.
Wow. How long have you been doing that for?
Since 1980.
Get out.
Yep.
Well, mate, you got long service leave, if nothing else.
Well, that's it. You know, I got everything long service, got good super going. So looking forward to retire probably sometime this year, Andrew.
But, mate, you must just love it. What is it about that job that you've loved for 40 years?
But the hours, you know, because you start early and you finish early and you know what the traffic's like here.
Yeah.
And, you know, every morning I'm going against the traffic instead of being in it.
No, fair enough. Mate, I do a lot of that myself. I get it. Look, you've been retired, Olsen, for the best part of 30-plus years as a rugby league player. Why book now?
I've no idea. That's where Patrick came into it. Because I just came over to play league and did what my mother wanted me to do and try to stay out of trouble and everything else. And I didn't, the last thing I ever thought was someone wanted to write a book on me, probably 2 years down the track now, I'm sort of still pinching myself and it's come real. It's something I'll probably take a while to get over.
Mate, reading through the book, and it's honestly a very good read. I recommend it to anybody. You just loved playing rugby league. Where did that love of the sport come from?
It came from when I was growing up. You know, I was watching other Kiwi players like the Orchard Brothers and all them, Roy Christian, you know, and all that, watching their test matches and watching them play. And plus, as the bonus, you know, the physical contact and all that. And then it just went on from there.
Well, I think in the first 2 years you played with Balmain, you were the best attacking player and the hardest hitting defensive player in the game. But take me a step back. How did you come to sign with Balmain?
Auckland played an AMCO Cup then, back in the 70s, and they'd seen me play in one of the games at Leichhardt, and then someone had flown over and said, wanted to sign me up, blah, blah. And I thought, nah, didn't want to do that. But I'm quite happy where I am. And, you know, my mother, my father said, no, you know, rather getting, a crate of beer for Man of the Match $50 a game and all that. Whereas I was getting, probably $150 and probably 5,000, maybe 8,000 for a contract. And they said, you might as well go. And I said, no, I want to, we listen to our parents. So that's how that eventually ended up coming over.
You address, and I don't know whether it was cathartic for you or not, but you address a couple of tough issues in your life as well and through your career, and we'll deal with a couple of them, but including a difficult relationship with your father and how you realised that, you were sending money home that you were earning out here playing for Balmain, and you realised that was being wasted. How difficult was that for you, that relationship with your dad?
Yeah, that was very, very hard for me, when I was a kid and all that, because I couldn't understand why I was sort of getting picked on, getting, beaten up quite a lot, and when it come with the money and all that, I just wanted to give the money, and then I didn't realise what was happening until later on.
Was happening to the money?
He was gambling it on the horses and all that. So, I suppose those memories when I was a kid and getting beaten up and all that, didn't want that to happen again.
So on the field you had issues as well. It's alarming to read about the racism that you encountered when you became a first grade rugby league player out here.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, it was like, it was like, to me, it was like watching a movie on TV. You know, you'd go back to the States, Andrew, how the African Americans were treated.
Yeah.
And then actually, I'm over there and I'm copping the same thing. I'm going, I'll wake up and it'll all go away, but it didn't.
So how did you deal with that?
I love playing league, and that's all that kept me going. And the fans, I sort of basically had to get used to, because they did anything to make their team win, and it's like do or die, regardless of what the fans said. All they wanted was their team to win, and whatever was going to put me off my game, they'll just come up using the name nigger and ape and go back to where you come from. We don't need your kind here. And
wow,
and with the players that did the same thing to me on the football field, and did all the hit me late, kick in the head while I'm on the ground, or poke in the eye, and all that other stuff. Only way I could get back at them, rather than, because I made that promise to my mother that I wouldn't get into trouble and fight while I was playing. So I took it upon myself to take their number, whoever said or did things to me on the football field, and I had a whole 12 months to get them in the hard tackles, and that's why I ended up being the hardest hitter and hardest guy to tackle, and that was mainly because of what I had to cope with. Because our normal reaction is, like I've said a lot, is, we'll hit first and face the consequences later. But I didn't want to do that and embarrass my family and embarrass, the Polynesians' influence over New Zealand.
Well,
and give them that sort of, name that they're just bloody hooligans sort of thing.
Well, mate, it's 40 years later. I hate that you went through that. I'm very sorry you went through that. Look, as I said in the intro, Olsen, I modelled, in my very unsuccessful sporting career, modelled my goal kicking on you. One step, bang. I couldn't do it. You could. But is that right? You cut your run-up for goal kicking down to get rid of the chance you were, the taunts you were copping, and make them go away quicker?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was just, it was completely something new. Like I said, I'm over there by myself. I couldn't talk to anyone about it because I was over there by myself. I was living with, which I call the my Australian parents, and I couldn't explain to them about what was happening to me because they probably wouldn't understand it as well. But it's just, like I said, it was just a shock. It was just something I held in all that time I was playing. And, I was stressed out, didn't realise the depression and all, knew nothing about that stuff.
Now, Olsen, I've got an issue here. I could talk to you for hours about the book and your career. So, I was fascinated reading about your relationship with Frank Stanton, as he coached you early on at Balmain and finishing with North Sydney.
But I
want to talk to you about more positive coaching influences, and it would seem from the book that the Kiwi coach, Graham Lowe, and when you first went to North, your coach, Brian Chicken Norton, were very positive influences in your career. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's mainly because, they knew how I could play and what I could do, and had the faith in me, which I didn't have that with Frank Stanton. They weren't telling me to stop doing this and stop doing that, whereas Frank was doing all this, and I'm telling him, I would have been better off staying back in New Zealand playing how I play instead of coming here, and then you trying to tell me to stop, changing my game completely to what I was used to and what got me so far in rugby league in New Zealand before I left.
Our special guest is Olsen Filippona, and anyone who watched league in the 80s will fondly remember the Big O, and his book is out, or the book about him is out, The Big O, The Life and Times of Ulson Filipina, Pacific Revolution Pioneer, written brilliantly by Patrick Skeen. Look, you were named vice-captain of New Zealand in 85 and ended up captaining New Zealand, and I've got to tell you, and I've mentioned this on air a few times, Ulson, one of the greatest pleasures I've ever had in this business was hosting a rugby league show called The Game Plan on Channel 10 with your old mate Blocker.
Right.
And without question, my favourite memory was when you joined us as a guest, you walked on set during the ad break, and you broke out into the haka. You remember this? And, mate, tears were streaming down your face. It was one of the most moving things I've ever seen. What does the haka mean to you?
To me, it's New Zealand, and it's all my teammates and all the fans in New Zealand that are left behind, and all the great memories that I had over there. And that's why I ended up doing it.
Well, look, I also wanted to ask you about your well-known fear of flying. But I've got to ask you, is it right that you actually tried to get out of a Kiwi tour because you didn't want to fly to the UK, claiming your knee injury was far worse than it actually was?
Yeah, that's right. I went to the Merv Cross, was my specialist, and I said, look, all you need to do is just give me a letter, make it all official, sign it, and then I don't have to go fly anywhere. All I need to do is give the great Lowe.
Lowe, he called you out on it.
Yeah, and he said, you're going regardless. I don't care. Can't walk or whatever. You end up, you're not going. And because in that year when we toured over in England, they ended up taking me on a wheelchair on the plane there because I drank a full bottle of Scotch or spirits just to knock me out.
Because you're so scared of flying. Wow.
Yeah. And then we woke up and we were still in the air and I drank another bottle.
Oh, jeez.
And then Larry topped it off, and everybody, all the guys were spewing at me because when we arrived back over in England, we go to the motel, he says, right, everyone outside, we're going to do a training session. And I'm going, you're kidding. And all I did was just spew all the way around the football oval.
My goodness. just finally, you were described so often your playing career as being enigmatic. You could be in reserve grade, you could star in a test the next week, and somehow be back in reserve grade. You're regarded as an enigma with the most amazing talent. How would you like people to remember your rugby league career?
Just a good bloke that, entertained fans and people who came to the game.
Well, you did that.
Yeah, and that's all. That was mainly my object is play for the fans because, they've spent really hard-earned money during the week just to save up and go to games when I was in New Zealand and did the same thing over here. And talking to, Australian greats back in the 50s and earlier than that and 60s and all that, they did exactly the same. They're telling me stories about how every weekend the SCG, everyone went to work just to save up their wages just to go for that one weekend and to the SCG and watch one game.
Yeah,
it was good for me to hear that because that was basically exactly the same thing I was doing in New Zealand and carried on doing when I was over and when I came over and played in Sydney. Regardless, like I said, with the fans and everything else, with the abuse and everything, that I was going through. But to me, that was that's all I wanted to do, and everything else, like I said. To earlier, Andrew, I took out on players, and that was that. That made me, get back in my own way without embarrassing anybody, especially my family and people over New Zealand.
Mate, I still get a bit scared thinking of your quads, Ulson. It's been such a pleasure to speak to you. When you came here, you're one of I think three Polynesian players, and now about half the competition. You really were a pioneer in that area. Thank you for the entertainment you provided as a player. Thank you for chatting with us. And again, thank you for one of the most moving, powerful experiences I've ever had in this industry when you appeared on that TV show a number of years ago. Thanks for chatting. Good luck with the book.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Pleasure. Thanks, mate.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.